Glad tidings of great joy. You can be thankful. I'm not going to talk about money. Two or three weeks ago, Pastor Dave and I journeyed to Altoona, Pennsylvania, for the annual meeting of the ELCM Ministerium and Council Board, Executive Board. These are the two governing bodies of the ELCM. The Ministerium is made up of all of the pastors of all of the churches, and they meet on the first day. They meet, they discuss, they have a lot of grand ideas, but they don't have the authority to take any action or do anything. That's the responsibility of the Executive Board, which is made up of some pastors, but also some lay members. And I'm honored to serve as one of the lay members on the ELCM Executive Board. So the Ministerium met on the first day, discussed, came up with some recommendations that they sent to us on the second day. And what I found most significant and gave me a little bit of a thrill is one of the things that we did is we voted unanimously to bring onto the list of rostered pastors two new pastors added to the ELCM. One is a pastor who's serving in an ELCM congregation out in Seattle, Washington, not far away, and the other is Pastor Chaplain Chris Salerno, a lot closer to us. As I said, I was very pleased to make the motion that was unanimously passed to bring these two people on as full rostered ELCM pastors. And I mentioned this to somebody earlier. We've always sort of been aware that when Pastor Dave was gone visiting, racing, out of banks, whatever, that we had backup pastors. Pastor Carlson, unfortunately, is no longer with us. Lynn Hedlund, no longer with us. Then we had Vicar Joe, no longer with us. And as that all happened, excuse me? Then, and as Pastor Dave would say, Holy Spirit takes care of us. Because right at that time, we have Pastor Chris. So, newly rostered Pastor Chris, tell these people who you are.
Well, thank you, and you guys have been very warm. And just, I've come to the 11 o'clock service a few times, so some of you have already met, and thank you for the vote of confidence up in Altoona. I was a pastor, a Presbyterian minister, second career though, so it was later in life that I went back to seminary, and I was continuing with post-grad studies down at a Presbyterian seminary in Fort Lauderdale called Knox when I came to the conclusion after studying that Luther's theology seems to be more biblical than the group I was with. So I'd been on what I call the Wittenberg Trail for about a year and a half. And thankfully, I found out about this group that is, I'd say, a small but fervent group and growing, not by leaps and bounds, but it seems like incrementally the Lord is adding to the tribe. I was also an Army chaplain. That was my first ministry, really. My last assignment was in Germany, and that was in healthcare at Launchstuhl Army Hospital. So I served, ministered to a lot of the service members that were sick and injured from Afghanistan to Africa to Europe, all came to Launchstuhl, you know, before we'd either send them back if they were well enough or stateside to Walter Reed or another VA-type facility. So that was a real privilege to serve God in country. Now I'm in healthcare chaplaincy, and that's how I first saw your pastor, Dave, a few years ago, and I was impressed by the way he ministered to some people with dementia, because I knew who the patient was that was in a facility, and you don't have to spend a lot of time with them, because they're not going to remember, but in that moment, you can bring the Lord's relief. So I admired him, and I also knew Joe a little bit too, Vicar Joe. I'd met him a couple years ago through the chaplaincy down in Orlando, and he had just called me when he heard I visited here. And he had great enthusiasm about his own journey. And so if I could help in that regard, too, I'm glad to be and privileged to fill in. So let's worship the Lord today. Thank you.
Invited and inviting. That is part of the call, command, and nature of Jesus' Holy Catholic Church. By Jesus' grace and holy baptism, we have a place as the body of Christ at his holy communion banquet table. When by the power of the Holy Spirit, humility and mutual love continue among us, Jesus' Holy Catholic Church remains inviting to all of his people.
There is endless rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. We put our trust in these promises. Jesus will never leave or forsake us. Jesus always seeks us, even when we are lost in our sin. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the Holy Trinity, the angels, and all the saints in heaven at this great news. Amen. The grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. O God our Father, you rejoice when your people are humble and generous for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to grant us the humility of Jesus so that we embody his generosity as we serve him, his people, and his ministries, and his missions, through you, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray for all the victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including Afghanistan, South Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. And Lord, I lift up also the situation with the current weather and the Hurricane Dorian, Lord, that you keep us all safe, Lord. Be with those who are deployed and in harm's way. Bring them home safely and soon. And also the families that grieve the recent shootings, Lord. Minister to each of these. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing of power of Jesus Christ, God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We admit our human frailties and recognize that we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each in every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The book of Proverbs is part of a collection of teachings known as wisdom literature. Wisdom literature gives direction to Israel leaders and people for the conduct of daily life. Today's teaching about humility is also true for us. First lesson is from Proverbs 25. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to put your lower in the presence of a noble. Word of God, word of life. The conclusion of the letter of Hebrews contains teaching for the conduct of a holy life, all of which are shaped by God our Father's love for us and his Son, Jesus Christ. Second lesson is from Hebrews 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves are being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge the fornicators and the adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content for what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So begin with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice to praise to God, that is, the fruits of the lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Word of God, word of life.
The gospel. Jesus observes his guests jockeying for position at the meal table. Jesus uses the opportunity to teach his hearers and us to choose humility rather than self-exaltation. Jesus also makes an appeal for the host to mimic his gracious hospitality to the poor and to the broken. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by the guest, by the host, excuse me. And the host who invited more distinguished than you, excuse me, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, you may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord. Hymn number 879, For the Beauty of the Earth. Well, we should have a sermon. I'm not used to doing three, so since it's the last one, I could take my time and give you your money's worth. I didn't want to go over on the last two. But it's a privilege to be entrusted to preach God's Word. Coming to the Lord later in life, it's something I never thought He would have privileged me with, and working in the chaplaincy, serving God and country, well, praise the Lord. The verses I have for you today are from Psalm 31, 14 and 15a. In this passage, David is going through trials and he's trying to fix them himself, like we all by default do. But finally he comes to an end of himself out of frustration, and he says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. The sermon today, I was kind of provoked by a book I read a while ago. In 1965, Martin Lloyd-Jones published a book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. And according to Lloyd-Jones, now he was a physician before he became a minister, but he observed there is a condition called spiritual depression that has to do with wrong beliefs. It's a type of sadness or discouragement that afflicts many in the household of faith. And I believe what he observed in his day, Lloyd-Jones, is all too true in ours. And just a disclaimer I have to put out here, because I don't want people to tell Pastor Dave that I said to go off medication for depression or anything like that, because clearly that's the realm of medical professionals and has to do with physiological needs, and that's not in my lane. And that's not the point of Lloyd Jones either. Lloyd Jones is saying, particularly in this message, regrets from the past can haunt us needlessly. I just want to review a common things that could cause regret for people over the years. The malady afflicts many Christians with a heartache. Sometimes it's because we didn't obey the Lord's will. And I equate it to driving down the highway and seeing an exit you're not supposed to get off and doing it anyway. And that's pretty obvious. You know, we know we did wrong. We can confess our sin. And hopefully we didn't impact others that much. But more specifically, I want to talk about dwelling on failures of the past that might have just been wrong decisions that we made or things we'd like to change. Unless you have the Lord, it's really tough to change. But we're to view all things through Christ, right? If any of you were in the military, when you go to the range and they're aiming at targets, naturally the sights get off after a while. And you have to recalibrate them to be shooting straight at the bullseye. The same thing happens to us as humans, as fallen Christians. What do we recalibrate our thinking with? Is God's word and his promises. And some of it is even human wisdom. But you can find verses in God's scripture for that too. So a lot of people have present trials. Clearly, I work in healthcare. You could be concerned. We have a long list to pray for, and that's normal. Others are worried about their future. Will they have enough income to be able to afford their expenses? And that's valid. But those things, you know, in the hospital could be cured, healed. Maybe you won't have the financial crisis you were worried about, but it's the things in the past. What's done is done. What was left undone can't be done now. It can't be changed. So they are the hardest things to often deal with. Things that we fear may not even happen, but the past is unchangeable. And one author said, the past is like a foreign country. They do things differently there. So he's saying, why? Because sometimes we want to distance ourselves. Was that even me back then? And recently, I was looking through a food magazine, and this author goes to establishments mostly in the Northeast. They'll go to taverns and different places where they have kind of working class fare, but they do it very well, and he'll write a story on it. And he's an artist, so he'll also sketch usually the building and, you know, somebody coming out with chili dogs or some kind of seafood. And I'm looking through it, and I'm reading this one article about Fairy's Pizza, and sure enough, it's the house that I grew up on the second floor. So I was thinking about that. You know, it was kind of meaningful to me. It's caricature now, and I was going to print it. Should I print it out and put it up somewhere in my kitchen or something? And for a minute, I thought, you know, it's kind of, that town's kind of depressing, and well, I've changed. Praise the Lord. But that town hasn't changed much. But my memories weren't bad there. It was a pharmacy when I lived above it. And, you know, you could go down in one of those pharmacies that would have the counter where you could have the ice cream sodas and sandwiches. And later on, my sister worked there, too, and she worked at a deli. It was a Lebanese deli. And finally, the pizzeria from across the street moved in. And this got me thinking, though, about when I came of age and I was a young man, and I think my folks were already coming to Florida part of the year. And I was working my first job after junior college. I was about 20. And they said, hey, there's a deal in a house through the bank that they really want to cut somebody a deal. It's a fixer-upper. And I thought, wow, you know, I'll get my own house. And they'll be impressed when they come back. Well, it didn't turn out that way. You know, my family came back, and I'm taking the show to them, and we're driving through the neighborhood. I'm in the back, and I said, make a right up here on Elm Street. And at this time, there was a well-known horror movie And I got to share the title in a minute if you haven't figured it out. So they turn right on Elm and they go, where is it? I said, well, it's right there. And it seemed like they both turned their heads simultaneously and said, Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, it was a mess. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. And it just got worse as we went in the house and there was structural damage. It was two elderly women who were sisters that lived there and couldn't keep up with it and then died and had been, sitting by the bank for a while, and they just wanted to get rid of it. And, there was no curb appeal whatsoever. We said, but the curb. They wanted me to take that property so much. At the same time, I was let go from the job because our company got taken over and they didn't have a position for me. And I'm 20 years old without a job. The bank still, no, we'll give you the mortgage. You'll find another job. Like, when do you hear that, right? And I go, what, are you kidding me? So somehow, thank the Lord, I was able to get out from under that, and they gave me my deposit back. But that would have burned me a long time. In fact, 6 months later, I drove past the house, and it was no more. Somebody had just raised it to the ground to start over. So I didn't have the money to do that. And so just thinking of mistakes we make, and depending on your personality, if you do things, more rashly or you have more aggressive personality, it's things maybe you regret that you have done versus if you're more conservative, sometimes we regret things we haven't done. And honestly, I could come at it from both sides. There are things I haven't done I regret and things I almost, like in this case, did that I was spared from. The more common one probably is relationships. You know, you failure to marry. You let the good one get away. Mr. Good wasn't good enough. Mrs. Right. You know, I tell you, one time I thought I was ready. I met the perfect 10, and I was ready to go, but she was able to do better than me. And that's the way we work when we... But more often than not, it's choosing the wrong one, we think. You know, and there are divorces, and it's reality of life. But the thing about our Lord is he could restore every relationship, not just love or family. At least this side of heaven, to as best as it can be. And sometimes it's apart from the other person, but the Lord is good, and he restores things. But a lot of regrets relate to family, right? I work in healthcare, and at the end of life, it comes out a lot. It's the majority of families that have rifts in their family. Like, they'll be mentioning who's coming in to see them, and then you'll hear a name you never heard before. And then they'll say, well, that's our son. We haven't, it's complicated. We haven't seen him in 10 years. And it's sad. But it's more common. It actually happens more common than not, where there's some kind of complex history that has to be worked out. And at that point, whose fault it was, it doesn't matter. You know, because if you dwell on the past, what good is it? And oftentimes, there is mercy even at the end, where you could even get these Skype or on Apple, where you somebody close to death, they can tell each other, I love you and I forgive you, from across the country. And it's not the ideal way, but I've seen the Lord even use something like that. So relationships, just to say, there are a lot of regrets with that. No one does it perfectly. Even, I'm thinking of career. I used to like to jump around a little bit, and it's not that I left my jobs without a good name. I happened to... I guess I should say the Lord blessed me. I always found it easy to find work. Ministry was a second career. I was in environmental services, but I went from New York City to Philadelphia to Los Angeles for 14 years. I got in the Army so late in life I had to get an age waiver, but they did need chaplains, Sometimes the older guys have a little wisdom, we like to think, too. I don't regret that, by the way. That was a true privilege to serve God and country. But as we look back in life, there are a lot of things we could probably do different. And I think the longer you live, the more time you have to look back. You know, many times when I visit people that are older and they have something they want to tell me, I'm thinking of something that happened last week, and it's like, back in 1968, I'm like, it's sad because it was something really devastating perhaps to them. But in the faith, you would hope that the Lord Jesus would console them by now and allow them to move on. Even with career, a lot of us with finances, right? If we jumped around a lot, you know, maybe you're at midlife or older, you don't have the energy to hold down two jobs or go back to school and study more, so you just have to do the best you can. You might not have that retirement. We hoped we could be up on the country club over here playing golf all the time. You know, it's just not a reality for everybody. But, you know, the Lord can do mighty things. We were, as Don alluded to, we went up to Altoona. I met them in Pittsburgh. I flew up separately, and they were kind enough to let me ride with them. But the interesting thing about Pittsburgh, you come into the airport, and then you drive a little bit, you go through a tunnel, and then it just opens up, and it's really a beautiful panorama to see Pittsburgh, the cityscape, and the three rivers. The two come together to form a confluence into one. I think it's the Ohio River that it forms. And that's kind of how I was thinking, you know, it works with God's will and ours. You know, God's perfect will is here. And ours, we often don't match as it's more meandering. Okay? I can't even speak of my own. Sometimes we are aligned with this, sometimes we aren't. But the Lord is good and gracious. He doesn't just allow us to go down into the abyss. You know, He brings us together in His goodness and mercy and allows us to continue on. And He has forgiveness. And it's like that third river. And I was just continuing with the metaphor. If you think about rowing a boat, this is how I see old memories and regrets. The Lord allows us to move forward as we're rowing this way, but we're still looking back, seeing what's past. Seeing the wake, if you will, of our decisions, right or wrong. But we need not stay stuck in them. One minister I knew, his wife died in a car accident on the way to their oldest son's wedding. So they had a funeral and a wedding because people are from out of town the same week. And he said to me, you know the psalm, I'm pretty sure, Psalm 23. And he said, I'm walking through that dark valley and the Lord spoke to me in this passage that I'm not going to allow you to languish there. But it's a walk and not a run. And the Lord said, I'll be with you and I'll send people. That was when he felt the Lord speaking to him. And that wasn't anything to do with him. He just regretted he wasn't there to be the one driving the vehicle. But I'll always remember Ernest said, you know, the Lord will not let you languish in that. He'll miss his wife greatly. But he looks to the day when he sees her again in heaven. And then lastly, I'll say health too. You know, maybe we smoke too much or we drank too much or sometimes I have trouble pushing away from the table. You know, I'm half Italian, but both sides of my family were in the food business, so I like good food. But it could take a toll later in life on our health. And, you know, you still can make a comeback, you know, by doing little things. But we can't stew on what's done. You know, what's past is past. So for those of you who study the Bible and the Old Testament, I thought of the prophet Joel. He spoke to Israel when they had a great famine in the land. It was so bad that even if they had a great harvest, one year wouldn't even make up for it. But he prophesied. He said, the years the locusts have eaten will be restored. So the point being is, if our good Lord could do that for an ancient harvest for Israel, so can He do with our lives, even with the messes. Because we know Paul says in Romans, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. You know, it's hard to figure out how that works, but we trust in the Lord for that. Most importantly, the Word of God says, our past mistakes will never separate us from the love of God. You know the passage that's also from Romans 8. Height nor depth, or angels nor principalities, sickness, famine, persecution, the sword. There's nothing and no one, no creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What Paul is saying is there's no sin, there's no illness, Not even our greatest enemy or the devil himself could separate us from the love of God if we put our trust in Christ Jesus. And that's a great promise we have. Nothing and no one. Also, I wanted to bring up the example of John the Baptist. The Bible says there was never anyone that had a more fruitful ministry until Jesus. He was a bright and shining light, heralding the kingdom. You know how long his ministry was? About a year. So many of us are up in age and figure out, what can we do now? And I'm sure many are already doing prayer and intercession that people may not even see or know about, but benefit the kingdom of God greatly. And I commend you and exhort you to continue on with that especially. And be it the setup ministry, the music ministry, there are many things that God could use you for. And like John the Baptist, even in one short year, the Lord could do things that we never imagined. You might not even see them this side of heaven. You know, but it might be in eternity. We realize that the person we helped, or the person we helped at the store when there was one case of water left. Somebody used that example earlier today with fighting in the stores almost. Cutthroat kind of, I shouldn't say fighting, but get that gas and all the extra tanks and all that. But nothing wrong with self-preservation, but we want to remember our neighbor too, right? Yeah. So the Bible says, if you don't have to live with regrets, why would we? There are much greater things to live for: faith, hope, and love. So my exhortation today is that don't focus on what you did or didn't do 20 years ago. It's more important with what God the Father did 2,000 years ago. But you know what it says in John's Gospel? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That reframes everything. So when you're in doubt and remorse, and they creep in, and Satan reminds you of it, right? It's like, hey, remember, hey buddy, remember what you did back then? He reminds you of sins, regrets, failures, follies. And he says to you, are your sins really forgiven? Or maybe you're reminded of terrible things that were done to you. You might say, hey, I regret things that were done to me. To this day, it kind of warps my view of God sometimes. And that's when we have to go back to Scripture. You know, she neglected me. They abused me. He abandoned me. He stole my innocence. Fill in the blank. The deceiver will mock us and then say, could God really love you? Well, the answer is a resounding yes. Not because of anything that we have done, but because the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, sees us and now proclaims, you are my beloved sons. You are my beloved daughters in Christ, in whom I am well pleased. And to that I say amen and amen.
God, our Father of every blessing, at your Son Jesus' holy communion banquet table, he embraces us face to face, and in the precious gift of Jesus' body and blood, we are granted his forgiveness and eternal life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to send us now to shine with Jesus' humility and generosity, and bear witness to the one we receive and serve, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Gracious God, our Father, your Son, Jesus, continues to take the form of a servant, offering himself as a comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to your often sick and hurting world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to anoint with a servant heart all of your people who take Jesus' holy gospel, good news, in skilled care, assisted living, hospice, hospitals. Continue to grant Jesus comfort, grace, healing, hope, mercy, strength, and wholeness to all people who feast on Jesus' precious body and blood and receive his words of eternal life. May all of your people recognize that we have a place and a home in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We continue to receive and serve Jesus, the one true good shepherd and treasure entrusted to us by the help guidance, and power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, continue to bless us and sustain us with Jesus' freedom, grace, justice, mercy, peace, now and forever. Amen.